The president signed an executive order designed to strengthen the senior executive service, including by requiring agencies to rotate more of their SESers to different agencies or assignments, making sure they're not paid less than their general schedule subordinates, and refining agencies' processes for onboarding SES members. Jerry Buchholz is a strategic business development advisor for FMP Consulting and a former chief human capital officer at NASA. In a column she wrote for federalnewsradio.com, she argues the order is a good first start, but it also might be a distraction from the real problems in the senior executive service. She talked with me about why.
HR offices, one of the reasons that they're struggling is that they don't have enough bandwidth to deliver the mission they've been asked to deliver at the level of quality that they've been asked to deliver. And when you put something in place, like what the things that are in this executive order, that require a lot of coordination, a lot of tracking, and a lot of reporting on things that you are already able to do, it creates a whole infrastructure that is very time consuming. And my concern is that if we use up all of our bandwidth on things that we could have done already, but for whatever reason we weren't able to, when we get to the point where we really do want to start implementing changes to federal law, regulation, and policy, we'll have no bandwidth left to do that. And so that's why I am concerned about the level of infrastructure that goes along with this executive order. I do think that it's a really good thing, and I'm not saying that the federal government shouldn't do that, because I do think that we all need to help each other implement best practices across the federal government. But to put that level of mandatory on it makes me a little concerned.
It's an important point you made a second ago. So from what we've seen, at least in the draft version of the EO, you don't see anything in there that individual agencies could not have already done on their own.
No, I don't. And I think that is an important point, and sort of the point of the article that I wrote for Federal News Radio. And that is, it's great if you want us to do these things and instruct us to do these things. I become concerned when they start calling things you can already do reform. I don't know in the final version of this if they're actually going to use that word. This is really not any change to any law or regulation, even where they could have changed regulations to support what they were trying to accomplish philosophically. So it's a good idea and it's great management practice, but I don't see it as reform.
Besides not changing regulations, I don't really see anything in the draft version that contemplates any legal changes. And I guess the White House has made the calculation that there's zero chance of Congress being motivated to do anything in this area, you know, other than add accountability, make it easier to fire people, et cetera. Are they right on that calculation?
I think they are. And we have to remember that you can propose legislation, but what comes out the other end, if anything ever comes out the other end, can be very, very different from what you propose in the first place. Legal changes are something that I think have to happen at the very top and be handled as a part of a national agenda, like the Civil Service Reform Act of 1979. And I do think that we are ready for that kind of grand transformation of the civil service. And that is something that is going to have to really be pushed at very, very high levels with really key stakeholders. Regulatory change is a little different. These are rules that the federal government has published, and there are a lot of stakeholders, and those stakeholders have very strong opinions. And I think what you really need to do to get regulatory change through is start a very robust conversation so that you understand where it is that people want to go with how we manage executive resources across the whole federal government.
That big, high-level conversation is hard to have at the very end of an administration, right? I mean, might timing just be one of the reasons why this is sort of small bore?
Yes, and absolutely that has to be a part of it. And it would be silly to do anything else at this point, because you do want to get the whole package wrapped up with a bow as the administration comes to an end. That doesn't mean, though, that regulatory change isn't possible, and especially if it were, for example, There's a regulation in the 5 CFR that says that details can only be 120 days for SES.
Mm-hmm.
In the executive order, they talk about rotational assignments details for senior executives for developmental purposes. So it seems to me those two things go together, and one regulatory change that they could have proposed would be to add a new regulation that says that details for developmental purposes for senior executives in a formal program may be up to 6 months. And then you have the opportunity to go in and actually have enough time to learn the organization, the job, the people, and accomplish something. The requirement to restrict details to 120 days, in my mind, is so short that the executive really doesn't gain much from that opportunity. And the people who work underneath that executive, all executives have people underneath them, are then having kind of this boomerang in, boomerang out situation with an executive. So I do have some concern for the people who are going to be working for these executives that are rotating around.
Let's stick with that rotation point for a second if we can. I mean, everybody seems to agree that it's important in principle, but fundamentally with any rotation plan, how do you set it up in such a way that the political folks in an agency aren't just rotating the people that they see as deadwood or as troublemakers? I mean, it's human nature to not want to let your best people out of the building, right?
I think that is something that you have to work on hard every day. At NASA, we were very big on moving people around. And we had rotational programs, and we had, as a part of all of our highest, most prestigious leadership development programs. And the most senior people in the agency had been through those leadership development programs. And so that created a cultural shift in the agency. When the very best people are the ones that are going on the rotational assignments as a part of a formal development program that's really hard to get into, then all of a sudden rotation becomes something that the very best people want to do, because it's that kind of thing that you see on a resume and people go, oh, And I think that's what everybody's looking for. So that is an important cultural shift that you have to work on with a cultural solution, not with a rules-based solution.
Back on your point about the potential transformational change, if we saw an executive order that did contemplate transformational change, what are some of the other things that would be in it?
I did talk about that in my article, some ideas that have been talked about at the federal government level that I've talked about with different people at OPM and in different working groups that I've been on. The things that I discuss in my article are not original thought, but things that have been discussed pretty broadly across the federal government at different times. And there are a few more as well. There has been contemplated at different times the idea of the quality review board that all people entering the executive resources, senior executive service have to go into, be delegated down to the agency level as opposed to be held at the a federal government level. Things like the recertification of your senior executive service pay for performance system, doing that once in administration instead of every year, which is very burdensome, or every other year if you get full certification. Other things, like I talked about before, the longer rotational opportunities. There are several more that I mention in my article. There's a nice long list of things you could do, some of which are simple and some of which are complex, but none of which are easy. And I think that's important to always remember. There's a big difference between simple and easy.
And one of the things that you do highlight in the article is the idea of potentially tying performance feedback and performance awards to, instead of an annual basis, which you suggest is kind of arbitrary, but instead tying those to what members of the S actually do in their work, organized around projects, et cetera. Has anybody actually tried that to see if something like that is feasible?
So in the private sector, they do some of that. It really depends on whether your organization has project-based work or more consulting-based work. Having worked in an agency where, for all practical purposes, all mission work is project-based work, and you see that projects are funded, they have a beginning, a middle, and an end, even if that project goes on for 20 years, and that there are milestones of that life cycle, that it would be very appropriate to assess performance after the end of those milestones and reward performance after the accomplishment of those milestones, has made me realize that this idea of annual performance assessment and reward only makes sense from an administrative point of view. It makes it easy to file things and process things, but it doesn't do much in terms of using performance management as a tool to accomplish your mission. And in my mind, that's what we're really trying to do. And so I would like to see better alignment of the tool with the work that is trying to be accomplished.
All right. Jerry Buchholz is a strategic business development advisor for FMP Consulting, also a former chief human capital officer at NASA. And it's easy to share this interview with your colleagues by going to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Just click on Share with Friends.